Good morning, KRFY listeners. Thanks for tuning in to Community Conversations today. And I am Susie Prez, your host for today's conversation. Community Conversation is an interim show in place of the live morning show and broadcasts each Tuesday and Thursday at 8 a.m., bringing local content through recorded interviews. Today, I'm speaking with Bonner Community Food Bank Executive Director Debbie Love. Hi there, Debbie Love. How are you doing?
Doing well, Susie. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Well, obviously, you're welcome. It's always a pleasure. I wish we could be in person, but with COVID outbreak, we just had to go to recorded interviews. I want to give a shout out to Zoom for providing so many people with the opportunity to be together without being in the same room. But in regards to food scarcity and our Bonner County Community Food Bank and resources, the resource it is in our community, this can be a challenging time of year with Thanksgiving and Christmas right around the corner. And with COVID-19 on top of that, I'm sure it has affected this area and this need in our area. And we want to get into how the food bank is impacted and how citizens in our community are impacted at this time. But before we get to that, I wanted to just get on to a little personal side. You've been involved for 5 years with the Bonner Community Food Bank. And what drew you to this work and what keeps you going, Debbie?
Oh, thank you. Yes, I can't believe it's already been 5 years. And I am my best self helping others. I found that early on in my life that I've always loved to volunteer. And after I got out of university, I realized that I didn't really understand the nonprofit world. And so I just dove right in. And I feel at home when I'm helping others. And the food bank is a special place for our community. I feel like it provides a pulse of how our community is working and shifting. And the people that we serve are phenomenal people. And it's all walks of life. Every day is a different day, which is exciting for me, good and bad. I just really appreciate having the opportunity to help others.
Well, that is so kind. You know, there's over 200 food banks and food pantries in the Inland Northwest. And I always imagine that all of them are hosted and taken care of and by people like you, kind souls that really care and reach and know how to reach out into the community and help people. So to all of the food bank
yes.
People, what would you call them? Food bank runners?
People who
run food banks in our area. It's a job, but it's also a lot of volunteering and a lot of caring.
Absolutely. Yes. Yes. We're fortunate at Bonner Community Food Bank that we do have paid staff, but most of our food pantries in Bonner County are run by volunteers. So that's right.
So we'll talk a little bit about that and get right into, we want to get into what's happening right now. But before we do that, the history of our food bank, how it works and things like that, what can you tell us about the history and how it came about?
Absolutely. So Florence Carter, was a local resident here with other members of the community back in the 1980s when food banks were starting to rise throughout the United States. They decided to start one right here in Bonner County in the bottom of the courthouse, actually. And then they grew from there and went into a storage shed and then found a little home on Fifth Avenue up near Serverberger there. They were there for many years. And then we moved into our new current facility in 2011. So we've been here 9 years now. And it continues to grow. Unfortunately, we're not in the business to grow, but during times like this, we are.
So you're over on Culver Drive now at 1707 Culver Drive, and you've been there since 2011. But you also have, as you said, Satellite Food Bank in Priest River, serving West Bonner County.
Absolutely.
And then you have these food pantries. What is a food pantry?
A food pantry is, for instance, like Priest River would be a food pantry where people, they're serving the public. And no, like a food bank is where outgoing goes. So we are considered a food bank because we also help Clark Fork Food Bank, We become a cross-dock is what we call it. So when we receive foods from other organizations or Second Harvest, our regional food bank, we're able to help disperse that to other food pantries to get that food into the hands of the people.
So the Bonner County Food Bank is kind of a hub.
Yes, yes.
Serving right out of the Culver Drive site there.
Right.
And 1707 Culver Drive.
Thank you.
Is there a kind of a mission or a statement of purpose for the food bank?
Yes, we are here to serve Bonner County supplemental food resources in a time of personal crisis. So that is our mission and why we're here.
So it's not like necessarily a grocery store.
Exactly. We have our market set up like a grocery store where we allot points per household and we let our clients shop. However, we can only give what we have. So that's through donations or purchases of staple food items that we purchase. So,
yeah. Okay. And let's see, what we wanted to get into, and you mentioned it kind of, that emergency only, but what is it, what constitutes an emergency? And is the current situation in our community just an ongoing emergency with COVID-19 and job loss and things like that? How do you determine emergency?
Sure, emergency can be anywhere from a house fire, a divorce, a death, medical emergencies. We just the other day, we had someone where they had, a family had two cars. One of the wife lost her job due to COVID and the husband's the sole worker and they only are down to one car. So she called us and she said, we do not get paid until Friday. Can we have, you know, can we have some help to get through? And of course we help her. So any personal crisis can be, it could be someone doing very well and then something happens, you lose a loved one or a house fire, for instance. So could bring anybody through our doors.
Do you see a lot of recurring, just people that are in, you know, have limited income in some way, shape or form, or on the, you know, just don't have enough to cover the expenses at the end of the month to bring food and put it on the table?
Absolutely. About 60% of our clients are on a fixed limited income through Social Security. So it's either Social Security or disability. So that's a high percentage where we are helping people month to month. They're never going to get out of that because of their situation with the income.
Okay. So let's talk numbers for a little bit. You kind of mentioned 60%. What is your, how do you serve the community each month? What do your numbers look like? And I'm sure it changes and flexes quite a bit over time.
It does. We are serving now approximately 1,600 people per month. Back in April and May, March actually, when we had to do a pivot quickly and start distributing food on the outside of our building because of COVID, we had a 30% increase, and that was over 400 families in 1 month, just all of a sudden coming. It really, I'm proud of my staff and our board that we were able to not miss a day. In this turnaround, we have kept going since COVID has hit. I'm very proud of that fact that we were able to keep us opened and healthy and moving forward thanks to our community. But yeah, we run around 1,600 per month. To date, we have had over 21,000 visits through our door of people needing services. Some of those are duplicated. If I give you unduplicated numbers, it hits around 12,600. So we are serving a lot of people.
Well, just for our listeners and just for them to know right now, I'm speaking with Debbie Love. She's the executive director of the Bonner County Food Bank. And this is a time of interesting time with the COVID pandemic. Now we're back to stage two. I don't know exactly what that means. We're hoping people are staying safe. But have, and you said back in the beginning of the COVID lockdown in April and May, you saw an increase, but are you seeing that increase starting again at this point in time?
We are, and that's a good one. And typically when the weather gets colder, we do see an increase in numbers, but it seems to be more during COVID. People are now now that we're in stage two, things are closing down again, and employers are laying off or furloughing their staff. So, yeah. So unfortunately, we are seeing both a combination of the cold weather where people are seasonal workers, and for instance, we just had some concrete workers come through this week that the jobs are slowing down, so people will use this seasonally through that way, and also just with COVID as well. They have a family member that's sick, or they're going to be quarantined, things like that. So.
Okay, so I just want to, for fun's sake, because this is audio that we're listening to, why don't we pull back the curtain, so to speak, and you give us a picture of how it all comes together from, or an insight into how it all comes together from where you get this amazing amount of food, what you're sourcing, how that's changed through the pandemic, and the importance of, I read in your history that you receive no federal, state, or county funding. So where does the funding come from? How do people access? What do they need to access? I know this is a lot, Debbie. So let's start with accessing the food bank. Someone finds themselves in that emergency or ongoing food insecurity. And how do they access the food bank?
Yes, we will get referrals from health and welfare, referrals from other agencies around Bonner County. Also, people will find us, they will Google us and show up at our door. And when they walk through our door, we do have precautions now through COVID. We are wearing masks and we are social distancing. We have the plexiglass up, but we will encourage people to call ahead if they can, but an emergency is an emergency. So we understand that. And we sign them up and we get them food right away. So we do ask for qualifications. Some of those our income guidelines, but fortunately through the process of COVID, we have increased our income guidelines through the United States Department of Agriculture, the USDA. So it's gone from $1,300 a month for one person in the household to $2,500 a month. So we serve a high percentage of working families that are just above that income guideline when it was at $1,300, so they were not able to get these USDA commodities, but we would serve them through our private, you know, food bank here. They just couldn't get the government supplement food. But now that it's increased, everybody in our food bank qualifies. So we're finding that people that think that they do not qualify, they'll call and they say, oh, we don't make nothing near that. And so we are able to help them and we get them through the market and food. And if people are not comfortable coming in, which we do have people for whatever reason, we prepare a box for them to go and take a needs list and get that going for them so they can pick it up.
Mm-hmm. Right. Amazing work you're doing. And when you talk about the USDA commodities, what is that?
Yeah, that is a government-run program where we receive through the USDA, and the hub for that is in Coeur d'Alene at Community Action Partnership. So every month we go down and pick up what's available. So it's dry goods, anywhere from canned fruit, canned protein, noodles. Sometimes we get frozen meat, which is a high commodity here. Everybody's always looking for that frozen protein as well. So it's just different items monthly. It could be cereal, milk, all those basic commodities that one could put in their pantry.
So that's the USDA commodities. And then there's the food that's in your food bank.
Yes.
And you source that from many places. You have food drives. You have food, gathering situation. What does that look like? What are your sources and how do you go about maintaining that? And has there been a decrease in availability during COVID?
That's a great question. I'll be candid. I was in a bit of a quandary when back in March, because we purchased through Second Harvest, and many of our local pantries in Bonner County will purchase through Second Harvest, which is at a great rate through our regional food bank. And every food bank in America was hit very hard, and so they stopped their purchased food program. And so we had all the little pantries in Bonner County calling us, worried about getting food. And then as I'm calling our grocery stores, some of our grocery stores couldn't keep enough food on the shelves as well. So we weren't able to order through them like we had. Fortunately, I was able to get in contact with Walmart, and the store manager there has been wonderful, and he connected us with their national office. So I was able to source food through them at a national level. Also, I had made partners with distributors in Southern California and Ohio. So we've had to really pick up the purchasing versus the cases. We've been now purchasing in pallets. So pallets of food. And so the freight costs are higher than we've ever had or have had to pay for. But our local grocery stores really have come through. Every week we're making orders through them, just by 10 cases at a time for each product when they get it, because they're seeing a shortage too through their distributors, their warehouses. Like Super One put it, she has one warehouse and there's six stores ordering from that warehouse. And so they have to divvy up those commodities to get out onto their shelves. So that really impacted food banks.
Right. So it sounds like you had to get really creative to find new sources, even though I think Second Harvest is still available now again, but you kind of reached out and shored up your sourcing places.
Yes, absolutely. And Second Harvest still delivers monthly to us. So we get a pallet of food from them monthly, which is wonderful. We really appreciate that. We also, they do provide the mobile food pantry van that comes up, and usually at the Lutheran Church in Sandpoint, but they'll rotate it from Clark Fork, Sandpoint, and Bonner's Ferry, and Newport, Washington. Mm-hmm. So it kind of hits, surrounds all of us here.
Right. And I know the last time that they were up here at the Lutheran Church with their mobile market, it was packed and they got rid of every bit of food. So there is a big need in our community. And let's move on a little bit to this pulling back the curtain moment. So you talked about the stores donating. Do they donate food that might have a shelf life that's coming up that is so they don't throw food away, but they might bring it to you just as a donation?
Yes, good. It's called our Grocery Rescue Program. And that is in partnership with Second Harvest, makes that initial contact with all of our local grocery stores, and then we carry out the contract. And so every morning we have a van driver that goes to all of our local supermarkets, Walmart, Yoke's, Safeway, Super One, and Winter Ridge also as part of that. And we're able to get, grocery store food, which is wonderful. A lot of the perishable items that we're able to give, like milk, dairy, bakery, all of those items that we normally don't see through just regular donations, comes through our grocery stores. And that is a wonderful, I mean, we're probably talking over 400,000 pounds of grocery rescue every year that we rescue. So
it sounds just like, it sounds like your sources are diverse and you've really reached out to make sure that there's always something in that food pantry or in that food bank to help people. And I just want to move on for a moment, let's talk a little bit more about donations outside of the food, the stores and places. How do you support and get the money to buy all this food?
Good. Yes, I write a lot of grants, Susie.
Okay.
Yes.
Imagine.
Yeah, so a lot of our funding comes from grants and then the community donations, private donations, sponsorships. There's a lot of networking that goes on for a food bank. And we are very blessed in this county, especially during COVID. We have a lot of our donors that typically would give around this time. They actually upped their giving, and they gave some in March and April when we were first impacted, which really helped us so we could order that food and pay those freight costs. So it's the blessings of our community.
Yep. And do you have any events coming up? I know that I heard the other day you needed 600 to 800 turkeys. So
yes.
How does that work?
Well, fortunately, I put that order in with the national office of Walmart, and we just purchased 700 turkeys.
Fantastic.
Yes. Thank you. So, and that was from donations. And then we hope to get around 200 turkeys from our community. And we know that we'll make that mark.
So let's talk a little bit about how the community can donate cash, turkeys, or whatever. They're cleaning out their pantry and the food is not expired and it's non-perishable. So how do people access being a part of the support in this community for our food bank.
Absolutely. So even if you're cleaning out your pantry and you and something is expired, bring it anyway. We do have guidelines from USDA and our partners at Second Harvest where we can, we'll sort through it and we will make it work and give it out if we can. So bring it anyway. Any sort of shelf stable foods we are taking right now, dry goods, even noodles, ready-made soups, chili, things like that. Peanut butter is always a big one.
Tuna.
That we always need. So, tuna fish, yes. Protein canned beans, yes.
And so how do people access getting to you? They can come by 1707 Culver Drive, but how can they call, find out more information, things like that? Or go Absolutely. To your website.
Yes, yeah. I was going to say we do have a needs list up on our website. It's www.foodbank83864.com. So that's.
And how I found you, I just typed in Bonner Community Food Bank, and then there was a little button that said website, so I just went there. And it's beautiful website with a lot of information, and so people can access through there. There's a phone number on there, there's all the addresses. If you're in Priest River, the address is there also. And now is a time of extreme need with, well, Thanksgiving and Christmas. We're not expecting big crowds anywhere, but people still need food at this time of year. And again, that website is, well, just type in, the easiest thing is Bonner Community Food Bank, and the website link is there.
Thank you.
Yes. And let's see, anything else you'd like to say? I know you have other programs, and I think we should just have you back on because you're also doing the backpack program, so children can take home food on the weekend.
Yes, we had a wonderful year for produce as well. Michelle Murphy coordinated that for us, and we collected over 200,000 pounds of produce right from our community here. That's not counting grocery rescue. That is purely from the gardens of people at home. So I think it's just phenomenal.
That is really sweet. That shows what an amazing community we live in and yes. how people want to help people. And it is not, there is no stigma to food secure, needing food security in your life. It just means that you just need a little bit of help in yes. an emergency or whatever that means. So and if you need that help, again, go to that website or call. What is your phone number there, Debbie?
208-263-3663. And the last four digits, 3663, spells food.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Good to know that helps. So there you go. Anything else you'd like to say? And we'll just sign off here in a minute.
Yeah, I just really want to thank you, Susie, and KRFY for having us on and keeping the awareness. Hunger knows no season. So we are a year-round organization and can use the help even after the holidays. So keep us in mind for that. And thank you, Susie.
Well, thank you, Debbie, for all you and your amazing crew do over there to help our community. I mean, I wanted to say family of people here in our community. And that's what makes this community so fantastic is people helping each other in these times. So stay safe there, Debbie, love, and thank you for the work you're doing.
Thank you, Susie.
Okay, that's about it, folks. Thanks for listening to 88.5 KRFY Community and listener-supported radio for North Idaho and beyond. That means you can stream us on our website at krfy.org. And that's it for Community Conversation Show, but I did have something else. We will have this up as a podcast. You can listen to it at your leisure at krfy.org. And since we are a resource to help our community with information, and just so you know, Idaho is in a critical COVID-19 pandemic red stage at this time, or stage two. And here in North Idaho, we are seeing a big increase in the number of positive tests for COVID-19. And it is no joke, folks. Ask anyone who's had it, or ask anyone whose relative has had it and is in critical care. So please follow the Panhandle Health District guidelines and the government guidelines. Please, please wear a mask in public. It's not a big deal. keep your 6 to 10 foot distance, wash up, stay home if you're sick, stay home if you can, do whatever you can to send this COVID-19 pandemic on its way. It is really pretty simple, and if we all help each other, we can get through this together. Let's be good neighbors and friends, wear a mask. Thank you, and stay safe. And thanks for listening.